Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Keith, you ready for a little political talk, a little
election
talk?
I'm ready. Oh, you know, it's my specialty. That's what people tune in for me for.
It's amazing. I actually respect Wiggy. Wiggy's like...
It's over.
Wiggy's like already moved on.
Yeah, he's like, it's over. It's not even a topic. He was trying to explain to me how it's not even a story anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I mean, it's still kind of a story. He's like, yeah, it's over. I'm like, well, yeah, it's over. But I'm like, do you just, when the game is over, when the Patriots are done, do you not talk about that game for like a whole week straight?
No, we come in after Patriots.
We talk about Patriots.
And the next day we go.
That is the story.
Let's do wall-to-wall Red Sox. That's what we do.
Because that makes perfect sense. Biggest story in the country is a big story. And we're not going to spend all day on it or anything like that. But that was a hot take, I would say, by Wiggy to say it's not even a story.
No, I'm saying I respect somebody who's just like,
no.
I can just move on so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Here.
Did I win? Did I lose? Doesn't matter. I'm just on to the next one. Hey, there's another election in 4 years.
Four years.
I guess I'll watch some coverage then.
Talk to me in 4 years.
And like, trust me, I am no politico. I am not like a political junkie whatsoever. I love watching the election.
I'm the same way. It's like the Olympics. It's literally like the Olympics, where like I wouldn't watch a regulation.
It's better than the Olympics. Yeah, I know you love the Olympics over there.
But like, I'm not going to watch track and field or curling any other time. But then if it's the Olympics, I'm like, oh.
You're like,
can I sit down and there I go.
Wait a minute. Cobb County?
I literally didn't know.
Hang on. Montgomery County? Yeah, go on.
What were the results in 2016?
Yeah, hang on.
Fulton County.
No, put Erie County up there again,
yes,
please.
Finally. Like, no, I'm with you on that. And I love the whole breakdown of it, because it is very NFL, NBA draft-like, where you have all these stats flying by, tickers, all these different correspondents. But like, to your point about not being super into it year-round, I didn't know where CNN, Fox News, MSNBC even were on my thing. I had to talk into the microphone.
That's exactly what I had to do. Yeah, I'm like, MSNBC. I had to say into the microphone because I couldn't find it.
I
could find all the other ones. I had to say into my
ESPN,
remote.
I'm like, where is this?
I had to say into my remote, MSNBC.
Right.
I had to say that.
And I think
it was in the 900s.
So I bounced around all three. I don't even know.
I didn't go far enough. I made it to the top of the 800s. I'm like, where the hell's this channel? MSNBC.
So I'm bouncing around, right? And I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find the best spot. And I'll tell you where I ended up landing.
Where's that?
CNN. I think they had the best looking graphics. Before everyone goes, oh, that's because you like whatever. No, it looked the best. I think the font size, the map was very clear.
Yep.
MSNBC, to me, I didn't like the look of it as much. I also think Kornacki might be reading his own press clippings a little bit.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I don't think he was as strong.
I think he's a little too wonky, too.
Yeah, like King, I don't need it.
King keeps a little more surface level.
Yep.
Kornacki's a little too wonky.
And then every
time. He's breathing real. It's like watching Orlovsky on the telestrator. It's like, Orlovsky, that's not a workout.
And it was like,
this is not an aerobic exercise.
No, I don't
like,
need
Kornacki
it.
He's a little too physical with it.
And it was like 8:30, and he's got no jacket on. Like, he's already like, oh, he's
that's
like
what
casual.
I'm saying. He's sweating.
John King's buttoned up.
Oh, yeah.
He also was the speaker at my Hobart graduation.
You know what?
Very random.
I want to say he was the speaker at my cousin's graduation from URI.
He's good. He's a good speaker.
Guy's on the apparently. On the speaking circuit.
I don't remember what he said. I was hung over, but he had a lot to say.
This is not. I'm with you. This is not a political thing. I watched probably six networks last night.
Yeah.
MSNBC, Fox News, ABC, CBS, NBC,
Tubi, Pluto.
What else am I missing?
What else?
Jerry After Dark. Or what was his? What was the bar stool?
Oh, that was actually hilarious. Jersey Jerry has the Jerry News Network, JNN. That was actually fun. I only saw the clips of it, but it was hilarious. He was doing. He had a map up there and everything.
Well, I saw one clip where he was the king of transitions. He went from
talking about immigration.
Yeah,
right? He went from like
they were breaking down like whatever vote to just like let's talk about immigration.
Let's talk about immigration.
So I was watching JNN.
So that was funny.
I was watching everything last night, Keith.
Yeah,
I got a little tired of hearing about the circles from John King, But other than that, I didn't have any criticism.
Circles didn't really pan out for him.
No.
He was hyping up these
circles. There's a lot of blue circles. There's a lot of votes. It's like, I got John. Like, I get the circles.
Like
it's not.
Seems like it's over.
I don't need to hear about the circles every 2 seconds, John.
Yeah.
The guy on Fox, Bill, they called his board the Billboard, which I liked.
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't know how to use it. He needed a few more reps on that thing before they rolled him out on the big time last night.
I agree.
This is also not a political commentary. I was watching a Fox News coverage.
Yeah.
I think they did a pretty good job with the coverage. I didn't think he understood the board.
Every time
he struggled with the board.
Every time I went to Fox News, they didn't even have the board. They had a 10-person table.
It's true.
Where a lot of diversity there too, but it was a 10-person table, yep. Like it was a Super Bowl pregame show.
That's what this is.
And yeah, it is. And that's what it should be. Like you get all hands on deck. You don't take this night off. Like you were waiting for this. So then I ended up just going back and forth to, because I like a map. I like percentages. I like
how are you doing compared
projections.
To 2020?
What was Biden doing? I also loved when they would go back to the, I think it was the 2016 election, because they're like, hey, that's not good enough. Let's go back 8 years ago. Johnson getting all the love. That guy who came in third place.
I like when RFK was getting votes. I'm like, how's he? He's still on a ballot?
He was on in Minnesota. That was pretty controversial.
Wisconsin?
One of them.
Yeah.
And then he was hanging out with Trump, though, last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's Dana White.
He's on the ballot.
He is on the ballot. In some states. And then he's like, I got to get off the ballot.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think you have to worry about it. I don't think you're going to get a tremendous amount of votes.
My gripe with ABC, I swear to God, every time I went to ABC, it was a commercial.
I feel like the other ones never had commercials.
No.
I feel like they went commercial free almost.
Anytime I flipped over, I'm like,
let me see
Muir squint at somebody with a serious newsman face. Let me go see David Muir. The guy means business. Let me go check him out. Every single time I went there, commercial. I did not watch ABC because I think they only ran commercials.
Yeah, that was weird. They knew people were going to be tuning in, but I think you had to go to other places. But the real key of it was, I don't know if you followed any of this like on Twitter, but it was the betting lines. It all goes back to betting. And so early on, I was talking about with Lanny. You weren't looking at this?
Well, I did look at it, but if you were looking at it in 2020, it did not hold up.
No, that's true.
2016, the betting lines were very predictive.
But then I ignored
them last night because they were so wrong in 2020.
Okay, but they were changing, and
they were heavy for Trump.
Yeah, it was like minus 110 to begin the night, Bill, or something like that.
Just kept growing and growing.
But then
I think when it topped off, it was like minus 1800 or something like that.
Oh, I saw it. I saw it before I went to bed at -2500 or something like that.
Yeah, and I was gonna say so. Even when some of the networks were still trying to talk about, you know. Well, let's wait and see like what happens with Pennsylvania. It's like, the betting sites are now at like -1800. Like, probably go to bed.
Oh, Britt Hume was talking. He was going on and on about the betting sites.
Yeah, you got to find. Oh, was he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were like, Britt, calm down over there. He's like, oh. His voice is spectacular.
Yeah, these are a lot of characters. For us, like, swooping in, this is like non-football people like seeing like Mel Kiper for the first time.
They're like, what's the deal with this hair?
Who's this guy? Yeah. Who's Sam the Eagle here? What is this guy's story? Like that, like you don't know any football guys, and then you get all of them on one night.
Well, let me tell you, last night, this is how I know I was enjoying election coverage.
Yeah.
It's 10 o'clock, Keith. This is not typically how I do things.
No.
I'm not real big on snacking late night, okay? It's not me. I can't be doing that in my 40s.
Last night you were snacking.
Last night I go, hey, Kat, her mother-in-law was here this weekend.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Where is this going?
Hey, Kat.
Like, good Lord.
Is this working for you? Is this working
for
you? I don't know what John King's doing
there.
They
do say that a political coverage is like a natural aphrodisiac.
That's my mother-in-law. Yeah. Made this big deal.
A lot of babies coming out.
Yeah. Nine months from now, so many babies. Yeah. That was a hot and horny night. And so, no, my mother-in-law was here this weekend. She had a hankering for sour cream and onion potato chips. Just a hankering. But she never ate it.
She was high as hell.
Pregnant?
No, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, something's
up. But Jane wanted her sour cream and onion chips. She didn't eat them. I go, hey, Kat,
where are those sour cream and onions?
Where are those things at?
Mm-hmm.
Pop those open. Next thing I know.
Whole bag.
Not quite the whole bag.
Okay.
Because I had enough self-respect to not eat an entire bag of chips.
Got it.
But I looked down and I'm like.
Close.
Pretty much crumbs.
Close.
And next thing, I was just snacking.
Yep. Same.
Snacking, flipping around, snacking.
I had a tremendous amount of pretzels. I'm not even like a big pretzel guy. I ate a whole bag of pretzels. No, half a bag of pretzels.
Nice.
And then like, you know, chasing it down with a few beers.
Restraint.
Yeah, a few brew dogs. That's what goes well with the pretzels.
I had a couple brew dogs last night.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I'm an adult.
Yeah.
No big deal. I did my civic duty. I went and voted. Oh, funny story.
No, you voted early.
I actually voted early.
I like to vote on election day.
So my wife voted yesterday, on election day. And she was like, so funny thing happened to me. She's like, I went to...
I was intimidating some voters.
Yeah. I was just out there screaming at people.
Yeah. Funny thing is, me and all my pals went over, and we were just kind of mean mugging everybody.
Yeah, I did some destruction to the parking lot. I was like, good Lord. No, so she's like, so she went early. She voted, and like, you know how you like seal it off, and then you put it in like the little like machine that looks like a printer or whatever. Did you have one of those?
You seal it off.
Yeah, no. You didn't put it in like an envelope?
No.
Who knows? Maybe our town's doing it backwards.
No, I did it early. Mine went into an envelope.
So for some reason, hers did too. And so anyway,
the other one's going to paper shredders. They make you believe this.
No, I was going to say they probably tossed it in the trash.
I was handing in my little bubbles, looking over my shoulder, going, yeah. I don't see how people vote. How I voted on question three.
So apparently, you put it in the machine, and then like a little green light goes on, and then you can leave.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't know that, and so the guy put his hand up to stop her because she was walking past him, and she high fived the guy. She thought he was just like, you know, people get excited about voting or whatever.
Yeah,
so
he's like, America.
He's like, hold on. She's like, yeah. And then he's like, what? And she's like, oh, sorry. He's like, no, you need to wait until the thing. And then she's like, oh, what a start.
What is it with you guys and your handshakes and high fives?
Yeah. Wrist.
What's up with you guys?
I shook one wrist one time.
That's worse.
No, that's worse. You think that?
No, the high five is way worse than shaking
the high five wrist. When the guy's not asking for a high five, he's just trying to stop her. And she's like, bang. Like, yeah, America.
Put her there.
He's like,
slap me a little skin there.
He's like, no, it's going to be a long day. Yeah, yeah. He's like, the first person voting this morning, just give me a high five on the way out the door.
It's so stupid. How are we still tabulating votes on paper? That's stupid.
I was saying the same thing, and I guess you're...
So dumb. People are
you worried about hackers?
Yes. I do, and maybe that's a valid thing, whatever. That's another debate for
another
time.
Did you ever see the movie Hackers?
I did.
That was ahead of its curve, wasn't it?
It's so stupid, though. We're circling dots in 2024.
Yep.
And putting them into a machine.
And then waiting patiently that looks for everybody to count them.
You circled it. Your votes did not count.
Fill
in the circle. You know what I mean?
Good point. Fill in the bubble.
It's like the SATs.
And so, but it's like you jam it into a machine that has the technology of the robot in Rocky.
Yep.
And it's like, you're
here
like...
Here comes Johnny Five. Yeah, the votes.
How are we still voting this way? It makes no sense.
Don't know.
And then,
I don't really get it.
Then it's like, they're rushing out ballots. I read Massachusetts was rushing out ballots. For what? Rushing out ballots last second. Pennsylvania has their polls open until 10 o'clock at night. It's a ridiculous way to go about it. But I like voting on the day. I do like that.
Yeah, I guess. I also like there's zero line when I went on whatever day.
If there was like an hour or 2 hours, Arizona, they're like 2 hour wait.
2 hours? I'm like, what?
Look.
Yeah.
I would exercise my right to not vote on that one. If it was a 2 hour wait.
Yeah.
No chance.
Well, we were talking
chance
with Greg during the break about the Larry David curb episode where he's waiting outside the line and he's voting for one guy, the guy next to him's voting for the other guy. He's like, well, we can both just leave. Yeah, we just cancel each other out anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
those are worthless votes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody here? Who are you voting for? You want to just leave? Like, okay, done. Now you miss out on voting for all the other stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, the down ballot stuff.
Down ballot stuff.
I mean, let's face it, presidential election in Massachusetts, not very, your vote really didn't matter, no offense. But
no
down ballot stuff could matter. Yeah, yeah.
No shrooms.
I voted against the shrooms.
You voted against the shrooms?
I voted against the shrooms.
Why?
Because I don't.
Prude?
Yeah, exactly.
Voted against the shrooms?
Yeah, I was on the winning side, just FYI.
They're not going to make you take them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is for other people to enjoy them.
Yeah.
Did you not listen to Elijah Dushku when she was on the...
I listened to her. I didn't agree with her, but yes, I
listened
to her.
She's very non-Vermont of you.
Yeah. Seriously, Vermont. I mean,
not a Vermonty Vermonter.
He's trying to corner the market up there. Keep him in Vermont.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to just do some shrooms, watch a little Wizard of Oz?
I don't.
No? Pink Floyd?
You've never taken any shrooms, right?
No, I haven't.
I've missed...
No, of course not.
There's a few things in life I've missed the window on.
Mushrooms?
Drugs? I'm not a drug guy.
You could be a drug guy now.
No, I don't think so.
You could.
I think I've missed the window.
I don't think there's any time too late to start.
I think there is. I think you're not a drug guy until your 40s. All of a sudden you're a drug guy. That's not for me.
I bet you could find some examples.
I also think I missed the window on Vegas. Never gone to Vegas.
So same. I went last year for the first time ever with two of my buds. Dude's weekend.
How old? 39?
We did mushrooms. Yeah, no, well, we were all...
39 or 40.
Yeah, we were all turning 40 that year, so it was like a kind of like a little get-together,
yeah,
the three of us. Just like a weekend getaway.
That's one where I go, I miss my window. I'm out. I'm out on Vegas. I miss my window.
I think you could do it. Oh,
I'm out on drugs.
I think you could do it.
Yeah.
It was fun. The thing is, it's lost a little bit of its luster, because like we were sitting in the sports book, and we were like betting college football all day. And you're like, hey, this is great. And
now
I'm like,
the apps.
I can also do this at my house.
Yeah, right.
For much cheaper.
I just do this on my couch.
I do it all the time. I lose hams hand over fist.
I lost some hams on the Bruins last night.
Why would you bet on the Bruins?
Matthews was out.
Okay.
But I go, Austin Matthews out. They always beat this stupid team.
You're the one telling me they're tuning out their coach, and now you're putting hams down on the Bruins?
It's not the most consistent thing in the world. I'm not going to lie.
It's outrageous.
But they were plus money. It was plus 105. I said, buying opportunity.
I can't believe you were anti-shrooms.
Yeah, voted it down.
It actually lost pretty good, right? Was it 59, 60%?
Yeah.
So you weren't alone.
I don't need people running around like Chandler Jones howling at the moon in the middle of the day. Like, I'm just trying to get my coffee at
that
Dunk's.
That was synthetic weed. That wasn't even...
I'm trying to get my coffee at Dunk's, guy. Like, yeah. I don't need you tripping out in front of me.
Well,
like,
now
sorry.
It's
going to
lead
to
the next
don't
thing.
Don't need it.
There's going to be something else.
Do it on your own time.
Nick and Billy, not to get political here, but were you guys shrooms? Yes or no?
I was pro-shrooms.
Pro-shrooms. Oh. Nick?
I read it, and I was pro-shrooms because they said it was in like a... You had to be licensed in a licensed place to do it, and I was running around.
See? Mm-hmm. This show is still pro shrooms, despite what Jones thinks.
I've been outvoted. It's a gateway to just shrooms ever. It's just shrooms everywhere. Growing them.
Yep.
Taking them.
Whatever you want to do.
Micro dosing. Yep. Macro dosing. You know.
People putting them on their pizza.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I don't need it. Don't care for it. Don't need it. Voted it down.
I didn't like mushrooms as a kid. Now I love them.
I love them. I love mushrooms.
Mushrooms are great. Yeah.
Not trying to. Trip.
Not you.
Not trying to trip on them. I love eating a mushroom.
Just have a nice time. Listen to a little Pink Floyd. I don't know what you do with it. I couldn't really speak to it. I just thought, like,
you need a
buddy.
Don't you need a buddy?
Way?
You need a buddy, don't you?
I think you need a babysitter.
A guide.
I think you need a babysitter, and I think you need to, like, just kind of hang out in one place.
Maybe just have a sit, which I don't do well at.
This is what I'm saying. If you need a buddy and a safe space just to take this.
Dude, people are doing weird stuff anyway. Let them live their life.
No, but I'm saying for me. I've missed my window.
I think you read it as if they were going to force you to take them. They're not going to do that.
They're going
to
show up in your mailbox.
Yeah, like, dude, take them. No. It's Tuesday, Jones. Have your mushrooms.
People are already taking them. I don't understand what changed. So I'm not opening up the gateway anymore. People are already taking them.
But they shouldn't be arrested for it. You think they should be arrested for shrooms?
Eh.
I feel like we've kind of advanced as a society. Weed used to be illegal.
Uh-huh.
That's not anymore. Shrooms.
There's
next
a
one.
There's a line. There's a line somewhere.
Smack.
There's
crack.
A line somewhere. I don't quite know where it is, but there's a line somewhere.
Yeah, we'll find it.
Yeah,
we'll find it somewhere. But yeah, that was a big one.
What about first time? Maybe this is good social media content. First time taking shrooms. Pop that on social media.
That'd be good. Yeah. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram.
We need a buddy.
Yeah. Well, we could, but you kind of stood in the way of this. We're not going to do it now.
It's
illegal.
No,
he could be the sober sister.
Yeah, now we're like the bad boys. I would be. I could do that.
Yeah.
But we'd be like the, you know, bad boys breaking the law.
Oh, you see those guys?
Breaking the law.
It's just us, like, our heads are spinning.
Just sitting in a room staring at the wall.
Like, oh, that's good stuff,
those guys.
Those guys
that look like they're having a great time.
Yeah, that's good content there, guys. And they just crap your pants. You're like, you're like, oh.
Like, we go in the conference room, like, set up a PS5 and just, like, see what happens.
I would. We'd play some games.
Yeah. I showed up.
Play Fall Guys for a while.
This shows how plugged in I am on the news. I was one of the districts that had a sixth question yesterday. I showed up. I go, what is this?
Sixth question?
I go, what the heck? What the heck is this thing?
Must be nice. Just had the five basic ones for me.
Something about universal health care. I'm going to be honest. I panicked on that one. That was a bit of a panic.
You do that. A double take.
Study up on that
I was not ready for question six. I go, I thought there were only five on this. It's like your teacher throws you a pop quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a bonus question or something. I'm like, I wasn't ready for this.
The lady was like, this is 2 pages. I'm like, 2 pages? Like, names on one side, questions on the other.
I try to be somewhat informed. I'm not like, you know, the most plugged in, but I try to be somewhat informed. Question six caught me off guard.
Was there a worse
feeling? The cheat sheet on the bottom helps amazingly.
Yeah, I read that one a lot.
I'm going to skip over this two-paragraph run and be like, yes means, no means.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't read the whole paragraph. No. But there were kids next to me with their, you know, a parent, mother, father. I couldn't see who was voting on the other side. The kids were, like, looking at me. They're like, he's been here a while. I'm like, I'm hung up on six.
Just double check it. What'd you have for six? You look it over to that guy. What'd you have? Are you cheating off of me?
You're asking people what they did when they're walking out, getting the poll.
Are you cheating off of me right now? What'd you put for six?
Just tell me.
What'd you put for six? What does it mean?
A or B.
What does six mean?
Yes or no.
Like, we're not taking a test, dude. There's no teacher
the
here.
The wire net. Just slip me a paper.
There was no worse feeling in high school or college when you'd get a test and there'd be multiple questions where you're like, I don't know what any of that means. And they're like, answer this one. And then especially when it like wasn't multiple choice and it's like with like for two or three sentences, like answer this. And you're like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what they're asking.
It just, and
I don't
know
where to go with this.
Only you and the teacher are going to know how much of a dumbass you are, but you both know. And you go, man, damn it.
You're like,
pick B, pick C, or pick B and C are correct, or A and D are correct.
Oh, well, we had a payola plugola question at the old station I worked at, Billy, and that was one of those, where it was like, it's A through E, but it could be up to three of them are right, and you're like, what the hell is this? It's multiple, it should be one. Multiple choice.
Yeah, right. You can't be all of these or like half of these. Then sometimes the trick is like it's every single one of them.
Yeah,
you gotta
check
them
what
all.
Is this?
None of the above, all the above, or B and C.
Yeah.
And A and B.
I'm like, that's not fair. That is not what I was asked about.
If you're going to do multiple choice. Don't do whatever that is. That's obnoxious.
All right. So that's election coverage by Jones and Keefe. I feel like it was pretty good insight. Very
good
plugged
breakdown
in.
By
yeah,
us.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you want to respond.
Don't high five the guy on your way out of the voting booth. Jones is anti shrooms.
And make sure
and the coverage.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, make sure you just read about all the questions on the ballot. Sometimes there's a sneaky extra one, depending on where you live.
Watch Jones is the only one in the state that had that question six. Like, oh, how'd that ballot get in there? Was it answering the other questions?
It's also truly the best
question
night.
Six passes with one vote.
Yeah.
1-0 Jones. No, I think it's a huge night in touchscreen. Like it's the most important touchscreen night of the year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or of a
I'd rank them
stretch.
King, Kornacki, and Billboard. Those are the only really three boards I watched a lot of. That's how I would rank them.
No, yeah, King was good with the board.
Bill's got 4 years to figure that out for next time.
He's still piecing it together.
He's got to work on that. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the Patriots and the trade deadline yesterday? We'll actually take thoughts on that after I think award winning election coverage here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. So, Would You Rather Wednesday, Keefe?
Yes, it is.
Trump or Harris? Would you rather?
Would you rather? If you could do it all over again, who would you vote for?
Shrooms, yes or no?
Maybe you missed your chance to vote.
Vote with us. So we'll do that at 11:20. It's also a Celtics Wednesday. Very interesting Celtics game tonight at the Garden. We're going to talk to Terp at 11:45. But let's get into the Patriots and the trade deadline. They did nothing. How do you feel about it? That's right after trending.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Billy Laney. How's Tommy Curran yesterday here on Jones and Keefe? If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Free. Easy. Take it with you wherever you go. If you want any award-winning election coverage from Jones and Keefe, our first segment there, that should be on the Odyssey app shortly.
Pretty solid.
As well.
Yep.
You can check that out. You can also subscribe to WEEI and watch along on YouTube as well. We'll get in all your Patriots phone calls, 617-779-7937. The name that's starting to ring out a little bit, and we talked about this yesterday, was Tyler Hughes, the wide receiver coach.
Yeah.
Something's off in the wide receiver room, if you hadn't noticed.
So let's blame the position coach.
So, again, I don't blame him. If they fired him at the end of the year, what do I care? Like, I barely even knew his name. So, like, I don't care. It's not like the wide receivers are good. It's not like I even knew much about him as a hire in the first place. So if he's going to pay for it with his job at the end of the year, whatever.
Yeah, but then they just bring in somebody else like that.
But in the middle of the season, to be like throwing his name out there, that feels like people are now trying to point the finger at others out of self-preservation.
Yep.
Alex Van Pelt is like, yeah, the receivers stink, but what is this coach over
here? Well, it's one of those things. Well, if they go 2 or 3 wins.
Or Mayo's doing it or something. Yeah.
And if I think Mayo's going to survive it because of Kraft, and I think Wolf would probably survive it just because of that job. A one-and-done GM is kind of crazy, right? And so I think the next obvious guy would be Alex Van Pelt. But let's say Drake May likes Alex Van Pelt. What if Drake May individually plays pretty well? Doesn't Van Pelt get some credit for that? And then you wouldn't want, or nobody would want, 5 offensive coordinators in 5 years. So maybe they then say, all right, well, we got to get rid of somebody. We just won 3 games.
Right.
Oh, the wide receiver coach.
That's who Lane. It is.
And nobody would buy that. Nobody would be like, oh, okay, they mean business now. I mean, I would say the only exception would be Dante Scarnecchia as far as a position coach that you felt like really, really mattered. I'm sure they all have, you know, a layer of importance.
Even him, they won a Super Bowl without Scarnecchia. People forget that.
No, that's true.
They won a Super Bowl without Scarnecchia in 2014.
But he was like the one guy that you would really feel like, all right, he can take a group of, you know, C and D level players and get them to play like a B level player. Like, he could do that. Everybody else, you're like, all right, they're there, but it's more important what the offensive coordinator thinks of the wide receivers than what the wide receiver coach is. You know, can anybody name all the wide receiver coaches from 01 to 18?
Here?
Yeah.
God, no.
Of course. Of course. It didn't really matter. Or the tight ends coaches or whatever else. Like, no, of course not. So the fact that this guy's name's getting tossed around there at the midway point,
it just
is sort of like that. Okay, we're taking it seriously. We'll let somebody go.
It's no, like, right. People are fighting for their job already.
Yeah,
people on the coaching staff are fighting for their jobs. Maybe it's Mayo. Maybe it's Van Pelt. Could be Elliott Wolf. Covington's name got thrown out 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the Jets loss, mm-hmm. coming out of the Jaguars game, Covington's name was thrown out. The latest one is the wide receivers coach. So just know there's a lot of finger pointing and people are trying to protect their job already on this coaching staff because they know where it's going. So that's the backdrop for the trade deadline yesterday, Keith. They do nothing. I told you I'd be annoyed by doing nothing. Like, just do something. Make a trade.
They did nothing.
To subtract from the roster, make a trade to add to the roster, do something. It's your job. Your roster's horrible. This is a day to get it done. Other teams got stuff done. You did not. So I'm frustrated by that. I'm annoyed by it. I wouldn't say I'm surprised.
No.
But how do you feel with the trade deadline passing? Missed opportunity?
I thought just to clear up, guys. I wasn't saying they needed to buy or get anybody. I think they need to be more all hands on deck in the offseason. Use all of your picks, all of your money, all of that in the offseason. But I did think it was a good opportunity to spin a couple of guys, maybe move up in the draft. I don't think you had anybody that you really wanted to part with that was going to get you anything of value. But could you have traded KJ Osborne and Tyquan Thornton, you know, for a 6th-round pick and you throw in your 7th? So you move up a few spots. But more importantly, just get those guys off the team. Focus on the 5 receivers that you have, the 5 guys that you want to develop. Maybe one or two of them sticks and like is a part of Drake May's future. Just keeping everybody on the team made no sense to me. So I wasn't that upset though that they didn't get anybody.
Okay, so I was frustrated by that, but I'm with you. They at least should have subtracted from the wide receiver room Thornton, KJ Osborne. I would cut either of them today. Like, they don't need to be on the team. And you're probably right. There's very little value in those guys. What we were really getting back was more about subtracting. How about this from my girl, Josina Anderson?
All right.
Couldn't read the tweet, so I had to read it from my guy, Savage Sports.
She blocked you pretty hard.
As for the Patriots,
okay.
She apparently tweeted.
Yes.
It takes two sides to make a deal, and the Pats aren't going to give away players like Christian Gonzalez.
What?
Keon White.
All right.
Devon Godchow. Or Kyle Duggar, who teams have been asking for per source.
Wow. So teams are calling about Christian Gonzalez? I mean, I guess you might as well call on it, but like, that'd be dumb if they traded Gonzalez.
I agree.
Those other guys?
Keon White, so Godchow, Duggar. So when you say there aren't guys of value they could have moved, and the wide receiver room, I agree. Keon White gets you something. Godchow gets you something. Duggar gets you something.
Now, what get you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
5th or 6th? Is that too high?
So, okay. I think anything on the 3rd day of the draft to me isn't really much, but sure, you could have gone after that. But would you rather have Godchow or would you rather have a future 6th? Like, I don't care. Like, and Godchow's not a guy I'm trying to get rid of either, or Duggar, and even Keon White. Like, I think you need to get him back on track. The first couple games of the season, he looked like one of your best players.
Yes.
And a guy that's going to be like a good pass rusher. He's also the guy that we think everybody is kind of sneaky calling out, in it for himself.
He still hasn't learned what a horse collar tackle is. He had another one this weekend.
Yeah,
so like, he still hasn't figured that out.
No, he hasn't.
Can't drag guys down by the horse collar.
Well, they're not going to take him out. They don't.
No.
It doesn't really matter.
No.
But yeah, no, that's funny that they get calls on all of those guys. But again, out of that group, the only one that I would laugh at would be Gonzalez. The other ones I would listen and be like, all right, what are you thinking and whatever. But I don't think it's like a net positive to see those guys go.
That's part of my frustration is it's like, Elliott Wolf, teams are calling you about all these guys and you don't have to give them away.
Mm.
And maybe you just weren't getting a fair offer and there's your answer. But there was interest in your roster and you don't do anything.
Like, now that I got you on the phone, what about a Tyquan Thornton? I know you called about Christian Gonzalez, but what about a Tyquan?
Click.
He's fast.
Click.
Hello.
Hello. Hello? So that's a little frustrating to me. They were getting calls about it, and I wouldn't deal Gonzalez either. I'd listen on anyone on this roster, but short of Drake May, I guess. I'd listen on Gonzalez. You want to get crazy and give me like 4 first-round picks for Gonzalez? Fine.
Well, yeah.
So I'll listen on anyone is my point.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not itching to give away Gonzalez. You know, maybe trade his future radio interview rights. Like, I'd do something like that.
No. He's
but
locked in Mondays.
I'm not trying to trade him off the team, but some of those other players, they should be listening on and haggling over. I just feel like Elliott Wolf wasn't getting anything done. I know he didn't get anything done. I feel like he wasn't doing anything.
In that position, there's basically 3 opportunities to really improve your team, right? There's the free agency, there's the draft, and then there's the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Now, the trade deadline is the least of those three.
Yes.
But how do you think he's done in those three?
Horrible. Fail. F.
Right. So Drake May, we all like, but
well,
he gets zero credit for it. It can't be a fail because they got Drake May.
Yeah, you're right. That can't be a fail. What is his grade? What is his draft grade?
I mean, I would probably say like a C right now because you hit on Drake May, but it was obvious. It was like putting your name on the SAT. Like you get points for that.
The one thing you give the organization credit for, I don't even know if you give Wolf credit for it, is they didn't trade back from three.
But like Polk and Baker were two of your high picks?
Yeah, those are
horrible.
Not working out.
Horrible. And like maybe the lineman will be okay. Yeah. I don't know. So I would say the draft has been the best of the three. He then does nothing in free agency other than re-sign a lot of the guys that were on the team last year. And then trade deadline comes. And not that a lot of teams are really altering their rosters, but it is an opportunity to add or subtract. He flips Uche for a late pick next year. That's the only move he did in season. It's been bad. It's been really, really bad. And I think next year it's got to be how that one goes. Like he could be a two and done. If he has another bad free agent class, you think one and done?
Well, I don't.
If
I was wagering on it, he's probably back next year, but I don't think he's like safe by any means.
No.
Like he's like a lock to be back. I don't think he's a lock to be back.
Okay.
I'd probably bet on it.
Yeah.
But I make bets that lose all the time. I don't think he's a lock by any means to be back next year.
Well,
I don't think Mayo's a lock to be back.
So I still think he is, but I get where you're coming from. I just think that Robert Kraft, after 20 years of Bill Belichick, they then need to replace basically Bill Belichick with two people.
Mm-hmm.
And they went so far as to replace him with two guys that were working for him. Like, they didn't open up this big search for either one of those spots.
True.
He just went with the guy that he hired 5 years earlier in Jerod Mayo, and then Elliot Wolf, who was just sort of there, and then just promoted and finally got the job. Like, he didn't even have the title of the draft, did he? Remember? Like, it was like a whole weird thing.
No, he did not.
But he had been on the staff for a couple years, and so it's not like Robert Kraft really started interviewing guys from all around the league for that spot.
I'm trying to find Florio. I don't know if you feel like he's
he tosses nonsense out
worth,
there.
Worth checking into. But again, this aligns with the betting lines that you brought up last week, Keith.
Yep.
He had the Patriots 30th. He asked the question, will Jerod Mayo be one and done? Florio.
Yeah.
So like,
that's a good question.
Maybe he's just throwing stuff out. Yep. Maybe I don't think Jerod Mayo's a lock to be back. I don't think Elliot Wolf is a lock to be back. And I will give you what I think is tangible evidence that people there are nervous. Covington's name getting thrown out 2 weeks ago. Tyler Hughes' name getting thrown out right now. People are pointing fingers. Could be Van Pelt. Could be beneath Mayo. Could be beneath Elliot Wolf. But to me, that's a sign that people in the organization are going to pay for this disaster with their jobs.
Which
I
think
you have
will
one
happen,
building block. Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be Mayo. And I think to that point, so I think you could get into next year and Alex Van Pelt, again, I think is going to be at the center of this, and it's going to be about how Drake May is playing. But Tyler Hughes to Marcus Covington, oh my God, I wouldn't bet on those guys coming back.
No.
I think Mayo does come back, but he only comes back if you claim to make all these other big changes, which how big are they? Like the head coach is still here.
And on I feel like Van Pelt has gotten safer. Tell me if you agree with this. Week one, and maybe you still think Van Pelt won't be back, but from week one until now, has Alex Van Pelt increased or decreased his likelihood of being back?
Increased.
I think so, too.
He has a much better chance of being back.
And so now it's like the guy who I think was ready to be the scapegoat looks a little safer, and someone's going to have to pay for it.
I mean, there's still eight more games, you know? And
there's a lot of the good news is there's a lot of options. Like, if Kraft wants a scapegoat on the coaching staff or the front office, there's a lot of people he can choose from.
Plenty of guys. I know.
More than on the ballot yesterday. Yesterday, you had
there was a pile of names on there. Like, who are these guys? I haven't seen their ads.
They could do you a favor and put the Republican and Democratic candidates, just group them at the top.
Yeah.
I don't need it to be alphabetical. Like, I get a little thrown off, and I'm like, Jill Stein's up here?
I'm like, I guess I'll vote for Jill Stein.
She's pretty high up there. So, yeah, no,
of commitment, though,
he's got more choices, I feel like, realistically, than the ballot yesterday.
Yeah.
To scapegoat somebody if he'd like to. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. Some Patriots talk here. On a Celtics Wednesday, we'll get to Jason Tatum. the FU tour.
It's a revenge game.
Like he's going to do anything to Steve Kerr tonight.
He might punch him in the face.
I would not wager on that. So we'll get to the Celtics coming up later on this hour. Huge game tonight. Celtics and Warriors. Tatum v. Steve Kerr. Bruins also fighting real hard for their head coach, Jim Montgomery, last night.
Not last night,
against
no.
the Leafs. No. Let's get to that debacle next. I need a crying space today, Keith.
Oh, is that right?
For my Bruins bet last night.
Why are you betting Bruins?
Pour one out for the Lost Hams.
I won a two-game heater. You were feeling good about it?
I don't believe in Jim Montgomery and his job security.
No.
Namely because I take my cues from Scoops Keith.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I don't believe in the man's job security, but the Leafs without Austin Matthews. Just know that's what that was last night.
True.
It was the Leafs without Austin Matthews, and they embarrassed themselves.
Smoked.
Fortunately, I think a lot of people weren't watching it. Outside of Wiggy. Wiggy told me he was on all Bruins coverage last night, no election coverage.
Good, good.
Outside of that, I don't think a lot of people were watching it, but what a disaster that was. They had a million power plays they couldn't score. They gave up a million power play goals going the
classic
other way.
Bruins.
And it was a Leafs team without their best player.
Yeah.
And it was non-competitive.
And a team that you kind of dominate.
Yes.
Right? Like we've talked about the issues with Carolina in the past and Florida more so in the playoffs than in the regular season. But whatever, like those two teams and what goes on there. But you have the Maple Leafs number.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually with the best goal scorer in all hockey. So you take him out. And you're like, all right, the team is on a little bit of a run. After that embarrassing performance at Carolina, back-to-back shutout wins. And I know Philly and Seattle aren't anything to write home about, but the team needed that at that time. We're like, all right, Jim Montgomery's going to get fired in the first month of the season. And then they play pretty well. So they follow that up with that performance. So it's back to the formula that has porked them of stupid penalty or whatever, and then not being able to kill it off. Right? Like their penalty kill is trash, and then obviously they don't score any goals in the game, and the whole thing is just a mess. And you're wondering, like, all right, are you trying to save your coach? Have you tuned out the coach? Like, what is going on? Because I still have a hard time thinking they're this bad. Like, the roster, they're 6-7-1 through mm-hmm. 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. They were like 14-0 the last 2 years at this point.
They might be, as of yesterday, entering the game, they were in playoff position. They might still be.
They played more games, so it's a little misleading.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're the second wild card team, but you're right. Ottawa has two games in hand. The Bruins are two games out of hand.
Out of hand.
Against the Senators.
That's a good point. Two games out of hand.
And there
are even teams that are ahead of them in the standings that have played three less games.
Right. Washington is the number one wild card team.
Yeah.
They have 16 points compared to the Bruins 13. They played three fewer games. Three games out of hand.
No, I mean, there's a lot of teams that aren't very good, right? And so they could still be a playoff team, right? Even they need to play better than this, but you don't need to be this unbelievable wagon, 115 points to make the playoffs every year. Like these wild card teams, you look at it, you don't need that many. But right now it's more what they look like and like the lack of response.
Well, and to me, it's like they keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Their power play is abysmal.
Yeah, yeah.
Their penalty kill is even worse. Three goals last night.
Like you're giving one up.
Freaking Zadorov again just pisses me off. Like he's a big stiff who can't move around, takes a penalty, and then they score a goal every single game.
He hasn't been
it feels
great.
Like. So he had the interference penalty, and in fairness, you know, Swayman kind of misplayed the puck that led to it, but he's still not worth the money, not even close.
He is not having
to
a
worth
good
the
year.
Money. No, he's not.
Holy mackerel.
And he doesn't do anything.
No.
Except sit in the box and watch goals.
Goals too.
Yeah, no,
a couple
I mean,
goals go by
that.
Him.
And so, you know, those are frustrating. We were talking about this yesterday, Keith. I didn't really think the team responded to the Pastrnak benching. They survived the Pastrnak benching in the Seattle game, but they already had a two-goal lead. It's not like it was a tie game and they responded and went out and won. They just hung on. And then last night, they were dead. They were a dead-ass team.
Oh, man.
And so, if I'm going to give the Bruins credit for anything last night, here's what I'll give them credit for.
Oh, you got a little credit?
I want to give the Bruins credit for something.
Showing up.
They didn't fire Jim Montgomery in the middle of the election.
No, they didn't. Still the head coach.
Still the head coach. They didn't bury it. Greg mentioned this to us last week. He's like, if they're going to fire him, this would be the time. They're so spineless and weaselly. They fire Claude in the middle of the Patriots parade. Last night would have been the time to do it. I want to give the Jacobs family a little bit of credit. Bravo.
Yep.
You didn't bury it in the middle of the election, but it's coming. It's happening, and last night is evidence.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of inevitable, really, at this point. You thought maybe that little two-game, that looks kind of like a hiccup. When you put the Carolina game and this game sort of as like the bookends of this four-game stretch, like these are pretty telling.
You agree. If they didn't win both games this weekend, he probably wouldn't have made it to the Toronto game.
That's how I feel.
I mean,
I agree with that, yeah.
Can I give you a?
I got a real quick Jeremy Swayman stat.
Wait. I was going to give you a Jeremy Swayman stat.
Oh my God!
Go for it.
This is a little trivia question for everybody driving around right now. Jeremy Swayman, who is now paid as a top four goalie.
Well, like now, I forget, a bunch of goalies are all making the exact same AAV. Now, I'll double check though. Go ahead.
$8.25 million, so he's making a lot of money. Where does he rank currently? In goals against in the NHL. So keep in mind there are 30 NHL teams?
32.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 32 NHL teams.
You're Utah Hockey Club. You're Seattle Kraken.
I'm losing these guys left and right here. 32. Maybe too many teams. Maybe pull it back a little bit, NHL. So 32 NHL teams. Where does he rank in goals against per game?
Okay. So you figure every team has two goalies. So let's say there's 64 of them. I know what the number is. I don't know the rank. I know his number is over 3.
It is over 3.
Because I have some goalie stats that I want to throw at
you. You got some goalie stats, all right.
Let's say he's 40.
He is 39th.
Wow.
39th. So every team has at least one goalie better than him. At least one.
The Bruins.
And also the Bruins have a goalie better.
The Bruins have a goalie better than Jeremy
Swayman. He's been bad. Now, he is tied for 35th in save percentage. Okay, so it's slightly better than the goals allowed.
Yeah, still outside the top 32.
Man, that is rough.
Jeremy Swayman. And I have no problem with the contract, but he's not playing well. Obviously, he's not playing well.
That was part of it. You and I were both in favor of paying him money, but with the caveat, you have to be a top five goalie.
Yes.
You have to do that. If you're anything less than that, then we're not going to be like, well, it was a good thing they did. Like, no, you have to live up to it.
So my prediction before the year is that Korpisalo would outplay Ullmark, which is currently happening, by the way. Korpisalo has a better goals against and a better save percentage by a hair than Ullmark. Okay.
Okay.
He's also outplaying Swayman. And that doesn't mean he's a better goalie. No one thinks he's actually a better goalie.
No, I know.
But the numbers are better for Korpisalo, which is brain busting.
So what do? You play him more?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I'm just telling you, it illustrates how poorly Swayman's playing. This is not a commentary. They should play Korpisalo more.
No. He's got to figure this out. Plus, I mean,
270 goals against the 314, 894 is even with Swayman. So that's how they're playing right now.
I'll have to double check this too, but how many, shorthanded goals or opponent power play goals has he allowed?
I mean,
like
Swayman,
three last night.
Swayman gave up three last night. Like, are any of the goals his fault per se? I'd maybe put the first one on him a little bit. He misplaced the puck to a penalty. So, like, I'm not going to kill him for power play goals against.
Yeah. No, the stats are the stats. I'm just saying, like, there's probably a little bit more to it. Like, the team has let him down in front of him.
Yeah, fine.
But
does anyone think he's playing well?
No.
Okay.
No.
And so now you're paid. Now it's your net. And how's the team doing? Not well.
Poorly.
And so that should be attached to you. That's all. I'm still fine with the contract. I'm not saying play Korpi over him.
No, don't play Korpi.
I don't want Linus Ullmark back.
No Korpi.
I don't want any of that. I still want Swayman in net. But he needs to, obviously, this should not be controversial, elevate his play.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now he's part of the problem. He's not the biggest problem, but he's part of the problem, and you paid him a buttload of money this offseason.
That's right.
617-779-7937. How much longer of a leash does Jim Montgomery have? How you feeling about that Jeremy Swayman contract? And what's wrong with the Bruins? You can jump in on all of that here on the phones. Big Celtics game tonight. Jason Tatum v. Steve Kerr.
Revenge game.
Celtics and Warriors revenge game. What do you expect out of Tatum tonight? How do you want him to act? Do you want him to send a message to Steve Kerr? Do you want him to say anything about Steve Kerr? Let's get to all of that next.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.